This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يروي الإمام البزار في مسنده بسند صحيح عن حذيفة بن اليمان رضي الله عنه قال حديثنا is also by حذيفة. This is an interesting story. This is a story you've heard before. Like you know, I think you know the actual event, but this is the actual narration, just so that you have a narration to attribute it to the event itself. It's narrated by Imam Bazzar. Imam Bazzar was one of the later scholars of hadith that made collections of a hadith. So you look at historically, this is something inshallah Sheikh Ziyad will do for us at some point within the Imam Development Academy, where he'll go through inshallah a course where he just talks about the timings of when a hadith were actually put together. Because depending on that, there are certain differences in terms of level of authenticity where the hadith were actually pooled from. So the earlier groups, like Imam Malik radiallahu anhu fil Muwatta, and then al-Bukhari and Muslim, these are seen as kind of earlier collections, and the Sunan, Ashab al-Sunan al-Arba'ah are seen that, and like Imam Ahmad, and then after that, there are collections that were a bit later, that came later on, put together by like Imam al-Darimi, Imam al-Darqutni, and then for example, Imam al-Bazzar. And here he narrates to us, he has an authentic chain of narration. It's just long, more people within the chain. And this story is of what Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said. Qala du'iya, and this was within the theme of hypocrisy still. So maybe two more ahadith or so, and then we'll move on to something different. Qala du'iya Umar ibn al-Khattab ila janaza. Faqama ilayha yuriduha. So Umar ibn al-Khattab was called to go to a janaza. This is the time during his khilafah. So he got up and he started moving towards going to it. قال فتمسكت به. So I pulled him from his thawb. فقلت اجلس يا أمير المؤمنين فإنه من أولئك. I told him, sit, O Prince of Believers, as he is one of those people. So the person who had died was one of the people that Hudhayfa was told was from the Munafiqeen by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the list, and Hudhayfa's job was to make sure they didn't come into office of any sort. They didn't get any authority, and they weren't going to fool people or spread a hadith. Like a munafiq walking around saying, Qala Rasulullah, Hudhayfa is like, what? Qala who? No. So the person would take that back. They wouldn't be able to do it. So Hudhayfa was like this, radiallahu anhum, was a safety valve for the ummah. He made sure that these people weren't able to mess around with anything that we have of the deen. Obviously, many of them still had negative impact historically, but still, without Hudhayfa, it would have been much worse. So Umar al-Khattab was going for the janaz, and Hudhayfa told him, ijlis, sit, he's one of those. Qala fajalas, thumma qal, and then he turned to Hudhayfa, faqala, anshuduka Allah, aw anshuduka billah, hal ana minhum? That I ask you by Allah himself, am I one of them? Like in the book that you have, am I one of them? He had asked Hudhayfa so many times this question throughout his khilafah, so many times that Hudhayfa finally caved. He got tired of being asked the same question by Umar al-Khattab every single time something happened. فَقُلْتُ لَا يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا أُبْرِئُ أَحَدًا بَعْدَكَ. No, and I will never ever disclose information about who is on that list ever again to anyone after you. But let's get rid of this. No, you're not on the bloody list. You're not on the list. Stop asking. But every time, no. Do you understand what it means to actually ask that question? Like, why would you even, if you were living with Hudhayfa, would you even ask the question? How would you ask that question? Like, if you lived with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and you sincerely loved that man, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and we know, and you sincerely stood by him, and you followed him, and you became the Khalifa after him, and you actually built an empire for the sake of Allah, and you lived, he would put his shoes on top of each other, and then he would sleep, radiallahu anhu, on top of his shoes. Like, he didn't walk away a lot from dunya with almost anything, radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar. For him to have that question, like for him to want to Hudhayfa to confirm for him, that no, you're not on that list. Just it's one of those things that I can never really get over. Like I can never fully, it's just hard to understand. This tells me that we are different, that we don't understand the deen the same way. It just tells me that we don't comprehend this story the same way they did, that there's a fundamental problem in how we're viewing ourselves. Because we walk around with this arrogance that, no, obviously we're better than the kuffar, because we are, if Umar ibn al-Khattab himself, al-Faruq radiallahu anhu, was worried that he was on the list of munafiqeen, like the sarih al-nifaq, those who are clearly munafiqeen, those who are the Prophet ﷺ told Hudhayfa they're munafiqeen and they are going to Jahannam, yani the, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in the Quran. For Umar to have that fear inside of him and to need validation or to need confirmation from Hudhayfa just tells me that the way he understood things is different. Which is maybe what we, maybe that's how we're supposed to understand stuff. Maybe we take all of these warnings and all of these ahadith and the verses in the Quran as some self-regulatory, something for me, where I look at them and I wonder, wallahi, I make all of these mistakes. Maybe I'm one of them. Maybe in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm seen as one of those things. I don't know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us salam and say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all of us, yani full protection from being munafiqeen, from hypocrisy. But if you don't have that fear, see, anything you're not afraid of, you're most likely going to walk right into. Anything that you're not aware of, you don't know about, you're not, there's no level of awareness and there's no fear of, you'll probably end up falling into in life. So if you have no fear of nifaq at all, you have no concern regarding nifaq, or you have no awareness about it, you don't care, and you're like, no, I'm fine, that's when you're going to be, that's the window that through which you will get bitten. That's how you're going to get bit. That's how you're going to get ruined. That is your demise. Your demise is through that window that you refuse to acknowledge existed. The one that you said, no, that's fine. I'm not that. No, you're not. None of us are allowed to do that. We're not. I love a story. I'll end with this and then we'll go for our sunnah and then the halaqah afterwards. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal radiallahu anhu, when he was passing away, as he was passing away, he would fall asleep, like he would go into like a little bit of a he would faint, and then he'd wake up, and he was going through the sakarat al-maut, just dying. And as he was doing that, he was once in his kind of stupor, he was saying, لا بعد ليس بعد لما بعد. He was saying, no, not yet. And then he woke up, and they're saying what? And his finger was saying, not yet. And they asked him, not yet what? Ya imamana. What is, not yet what? فَقَالَ أَتَانِي فِي مَنَامِ إِبْلِيسِ. Shaitan came to me in my dream. فَقَالَ لِي نَجَوْتَ مِنِّي يَبْنَ حَنْبَلِ. You made it. You made it from me, Ibn Hanbal. I tried and I couldn't do it. فَقُلْتُ لَهُ لَيْسَ بَعْدٍ. No, not yet. You're not going to fool me. I'm not dead yet. Once I'm dead, yeah, I'm not dead yet. I'm still alive. Yes, there may be 5 minutes of it, but I'm still alive. So not yet. You don't fool me. I will never stop being aware of you. I will never stop being concerned from your, never. Not until I'm dead. Not until I'm dead, because if there's a moment and I become arrogant enough to think that I'll be fine for the next 5 minutes. If I had that arrogance, he's already found a way in. That arrogance is his way in. You just don't know it. That was your pitfall. Your demise was those feelings that you shouldn't have had in the first place. You thought, no, I'm fine. I beat you. No, you didn't. You're still, what are you talking about? You're not. As Abu Bakr would say, the only time you will have full certainty and full clarity and full calmness and peace of mind is when two, both, not one, feet are inside Jannah. Not one of them, but until both of them are in there. You put one in, there's still a possibility that it's pulled out again. You put one in and you stay weary and you stay aware and self-regulatory until both feet are inside Jannah and Naim, and then let loose. Yahweh, after that point, let loose, do what you want. Feel and say whatever you want, and lose and become oblivious towards whatever you want, and do what you want. The moment both feet are inside, and still then, until that moment, I'm sorry. Till that moment, you must be aware, and your level of awareness has to be at the highest. If Umar ibn Khattab felt that way, and who of us has even come remotely close to anything, wallahi, to be his shoe, wallahi, I wouldn't deserve to be his shoe, radiallahu anhu, and that's how he felt. يروي الإمام البزار في مسنده بسند صحيح عن حذيفة بن اليمان رضي الله عنه قال دعي عمر بن الخطاب إلى جنازة فقام إليها يريدها فتمسكت به فقلت اجلس يا أمير المؤمنين فإنه من أولئك فجلس فقال أنشدك الله أأنا منهم فقلت يا أمير المؤمنين لا ولا أبرئ أحد